Well, good morning and Happy New Year. My name is Dan Olberg. I am the director of St. Andrew's House, just down the canal. It's an Episcopal retreat center, and it's really a privilege to be here. Let me read the scripture for today. It's from 1 Timothy 6, 17 through 19. As for the rich in this world, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on uncertain riches, but on God, who richly furnishes us with everything to enjoy. They are to do good, to be rich in good deeds, liberal and generous, thus laying up for themselves a good foundation for the future, so they may take hold of the life, which is life indeed. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your message and your word. I pray that I would get out of your way and speak to people today. Thank you for the privilege of being able to do so freely in this country. Help us to have a wonderful worship time together. In Christ's name, amen. What is Happy New Year? Hard year, 2020. Finally, 2021. It seems like ages and ages ago that we had a New Year celebration. I am ready to look forward. How about you? It's just been a really, really long time. I remember growing up, they used to, and sometimes they still do, they used to have drawings on magazines at the end of every year which showed an old man of the old year and a new baby of the new year coming in. I remember Saturday Evening Post used to post those all the time. And I would imagine the old man of 2020 is looking pretty haggard and pretty beaten. I can't imagine a tougher year than we've had this year. So you have to wonder, what is this old man saying to this young baby of 2021? What's the message? What are the warnings? What are the blessings? What does he say to a new child, a new year? I would imagine, though, that just like we talk to all children, we have to use children's stories. How do we as adults tell hard things to kids? How do we convey difficult things like pandemics and such to our children? Usually we use stories, don't we? When we tell stories, sometimes we realize that these children's stories are as much for us as adults as they are for kids. C.S. Lewis, when he wrote A Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe from the Chronicles of Narnia, he wrote in a dedication a message to his goddaughter, whose name is Lucy Barfield. And this is what he said in the dedication. My dear Lucy, I wrote this story for you. But when I began it, I had not realized that girls grow quicker than books. As a result, you're already too old for fairy tales, and by the time it's printed and bound, you'll be older still. But someday, you'll be old enough to start reading fairy tales again. So after a long 2020, are we old enough now to read fairy tales again? Are we old enough now to hear stories about children? Honestly, right now, I think that's what we need most of all. Charles Dickens, in the classic A Christmas Carol, writes this, "For it is really good to be children sometimes, and never better around the Christmas season, for when its mighty founder was the child himself." I've always loved A Christmas Carol, one of my favorite tales of all time. I watched endless film and TV versions, cartoons, CGI, we've all watched them many, many times. There's a new version every single year. And though it's a children's tale, it is rather a dark tale. It's got lots of scenes in it that are difficult, even the cartoon versions. But the one scene I remember most when I was a child that scared me the most was the scene between Scrooge and the Ghost of Christmas Present. Remember, Ghost of Christmas Present is the really jolly, large ghost with the big robe and laughing a lot and celebrating Christmas and all the wonderful bounties of Christmas. But then Scrooge notices something underneath his robe. Now, this part of the story sometimes does not get shown in the cartoon versions because it is kind of a scary part. But I remember it really well. It kind of gave me nightmares when I was a kid. So I'm going to read you that chapter from the actual original Dickens story. "Forgive me if I'm not satisfied to ask," said the Scrooge, looking intent at the spirit's robe. "But I see something strange, not belonging to yourself, protruding from under the skirts. Is it a foot or a claw?" "It might be a claw, for the flesh there is upon it," said the spirit. "Look here." And from unfolding its robe, he showed two children. They are wretched, abject, frightful, hideous, and miserable. They knelt down at his feet and clung to the outside of his garment. Oh man, look here. Look, look, look down here. They were a boy and a girl, yellow, meager, with ragged, scowling, wolfish features, but prostrate too in their humility. Where graceful youth should have filled their features out and touched them with the freshest tints, a stale and shriveled hand, like that of age, had pinched and twisted them and pulled them to shreds. Where angels might have sat enthroned, devils lurked and glared out menacing. No change, no degradation, no perversion of humanity in any grade, through all its mysteries of wonderful creation, had made monsters so half so horrible or so full of dread. Scrooge started back, appalled. Having shown to them this way, he tried to say they were fine children, but the words choked on themselves. And rather than being party to a lie of enormous magnitude, he said, "Spirit, are those yours?" And Scrooge could say no more. "They are man's," said the spirit, looking down upon them, "and they cling to me, appealing from their fathers. This boy is ignorance. This girl is want. Beware of them both, and all of their degree, but most of all, beware of the boy, for on his brow I see written, which is doom. Unless the writing be erased, deny it," cried the spirit, stretching his hand toward the city. "Slander those who tell ye, admit it for your fatuous purposes, and make it worse, and abide to the end." During that scene, when I would watch it or read about it, I would want to cover my eyes. And sometimes I still want to cover my eyes when I see it now. For Dickens knew that we need to face something in our Christmas present, something that we've created in our world for our children. And they're namely two things, want and ignorance. So let's start with the girl, want. There is a lot of want in our world, maybe this year more than ever before. There are so many people of need right now in this pandemic, so many people in this congregation, I'm sure, in need. And we can try to point fingers at each other as to whose fault it is, and sometimes we can even blame God for all the want in the world. We've done that for a long time. After all, from our scripture today, didn't God promise that he would give us all things to enjoy? Then why are so many people without? Why are so many people in need and want? But I want you to notice, though, that the scripture refers to us in the plural. In other words, God provides to all of us everything to enjoy. And that's the key. Let me give you an illustration to consider. Suppose I have 10 families standing in front of me, and God has given me 10 loaves of bread to share. What should I do with it? To give each family one loaf would be the fair thing to do, of course. But what if I was to dig a little deeper? What if I took the time to find out how each family was doing? Which ones were in plenty, and which ones were in want? Knowing that, would I still give one loaf of bread to every person? That would be fair, but not just. Fair is about dealing everything out evenly to everybody, but justice means making what is lacking whole, and God desires justice. From Micah 6:8, "He has shown you, old man, what is good and what the Lord requires of you, but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with our God." So the solution to want is justice, and justice needs to come from us. It requires that we take the time to get to know the people in need and to understand what they need. And now let's look at the boy, ignorance. The Ghost of Christmas Present tells Scrooge that we must be most of all beware of this boy. Is ignorance such a dangerous thing? Why is such a dangerous thing? First of all, I want to separate ignorance from intelligence. It's not about smarts. There are scores of examples of intelligent people who are very ignorant. There's very uneducated people that are also very aware and are not ignorant. Ignorance has to do with avoiding knowledge or awareness that's all around us all the time in our daily lives, like in the example of loaves of bread. If we don't want to find out people's situation, don't want to know who's in need, we stay ignorant. If we close our eyes and ears so we don't become aware of what's going around us, we stay ignorant. When we stay in our little bubbles, bubbles that come in all shapes and sizes, with people who just think like us and look like us and talk like us, then we stay ignorant. Those other people outside of our bubble, we don't want to know them too much. That would justify us having to share with them if we knew too much about them. So we create bubbles for them too. And we find labels for those people in those bubbles. We do it now even most drastically through the internet because we can do it without having to face people. We create bubbles for ourselves and we all do it. It's so easy to do. We can create whole worlds that exclude other people from us because then we won't have to know and we won't have to act. But honestly, Jesus has some very harsh words for this kind of life. In John 9, he says, "For judgment I came into the world that those who may not see or do not see may see, and those who do see become blind." Some of the Pharisees heard him say this, and they said, "Are we blind?" And Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you'd have no guilt. But you say you see, and therefore your guilt remains." Even Dickens gave the same warning, because on the boy's brow of ignorance is written one word, doom. Ignorance is truly what we need to be aware of. It is the blindness we choose to keep that can destroy us and all around us. The thing we need to learn from children is that they oftentimes show us the ways that we can behave, as adults even. This can be illustrated by two words that I've used quite often that I think are amazing words. One word is called childish, and the other is called childlike. We often use those words to describe kids. The word childish seems to be about the things about kids we find irritating or difficult. That child's being so childish, they're having a childish tantrum. While the word childlike is attributed to things that kids do that we find delightful and fun, like he's such a childlike person, or she sees the world in such a childlike way. And so we have a choice here, to be childish or to be childlike. We have a challenge for our new year to decide what we want to be like in the midst of this difficult time. Instead of being childish, we can be childlike, like the young baby of the new year. We can put aside our bitterness and our prejudice and our stubbornness and our selfishness and our tantrums and become wide-eyed, filled with wonder and hope, curiosity toward our neighbor, finding out about people around us, people outside of us, people far from us, open to what God wants to show us. We can do that, and we can become childlike in doing so. After all, don't we have a loving Father in heaven that says that he'll provide all good things to us? If we have a loving Father in heaven, why do we have to be selfish? Why do we have to hold back? Why do we have to take for ourselves? We're not trusting God when we do that. Because he has given us all things to enjoy, the only thing he demands from us is that we have to learn to share it. That means opening our eyes, our hearts, our ears, and be willing to find out about who's next to us, who our neighbors are, and learn to share it. One of my favorite preachers of all time is George MacDonald, Scottish preacher. There's a great quote from him about this. It goes like this. "There is a childhood in which we have to grow, just as there's a childhood that we have to leave behind. A childlikeness, which is the highest form of humanity, or a childishness from which few of those who are counted the wisest among men have freed themselves toward the reality of things." And so I have my own challenge this year, through a time of bitterness and tiredness and sorrow of 2020, have to choose whether I want to be childish or childlike. Choose whether I want to be filled with hope and trust God and be willing to find out about my neighbor and be willing to share what I've been given. Or I can be childish and hold it all to myself and in some sense ensure our doom. I pray that we have a childlike new year. I encourage you to become as childlike as you can, even in the light of the circumstances that we have to face. Let's do so together. Let me say a prayer. Father, thank you so much for a chance to trust you and to know that your bounty is for all of us, that we can be childlike and filled with wonder, that we can care about those around us and not be afraid of being taken care of ourselves because we trust you. Thank you for the challenge of sharing and of doing justice in your world for your ways. Amen.